Welcome to the Todd Starn Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. All right. Hello, everybody. Now, normally your host is very affable, joyful, cheerful even. But today I'm in a foul mood, and I want to explain to you why I'm in a foul mood today. By the way, welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Program. Happy to have you with us. So look, we've been going after this cancel culture mob. Very few people in conservative talk radio circles truly attack the cancel culture mob. We have declared war on the cancel culture mob on this radio program. And some people, you know, a lot of these conservative talk hosts, they do the lip service. But honestly, most of them are using our talking points because they really don't understand how you truly can fight back and fight back effectively when it comes to this mob. And yesterday we told you, for example, about the case of Splash Mountain. But I want to put what happened yesterday in the context of Splash Mountain at Disney World being shut down. I want to put that into context when covering the cancel culture mob, because a lot of the people in this mob are just ignorant, and they're ignorant of the facts. They're ignorant of history. And on this program, history is a very important thing. And you have to go back and understand the origins of Splash Mountain and the Song of the South movie, which the ride is based on. So anyway, we did this story yesterday, and I'm still writing this blasted book, which is going to be a great book, but I was doing a little bit of research on the origins of Song of the South and Uncle Remus and Briar Rabbit. Now, the left will tell you, and if you read any piece of news coverage, they will tell you that Song of the South, which is based on the post-Reconstruction South, the days after the Civil War, that this was a racist movie. And it had racist language. And it had racist characters. And the song, Zippity-Doo-Dah, Zippity-A, was in fact racist.
Zippity-Doo-Dah, Zippity-A, my oh my. What a wonderful day. Plenty of sunshine heading my way. Zippity-doo-dah, zippity-ay.
So the song goes on and on, Mr. Bluebird on my shoulder. And so a lot of people, that song is racist. How dare they say zippity-doo-dah, zippity-ay. That's racist code for burn a cross or hang a noose in a NASCAR garage. Well, I did a little bit of research on that, and it turns out not to be true. As a matter of fact, the songwriters, who happen to be leftist, the songwriters actually were famous because they would write these songs back in the day that, and they would use fake words that meant absolutely nothing. Bippity boppity boo. They wrote that song too. I think that's from, the chick over in London, Mary Poppins. Thank you. So it's that song, the Bippity Boppity or Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. They made up the words. So Zippity Doo Dah Zippity A means absolutely nothing. It's not racist. It's just gibberish. Oh, it's racist. And you say, well, Todd, what about those characters, Briar Rabbit and Briar this, Briar Fox? What about all of that? Well, it turns out that Song of the South is actually based on a very popular children's series written by Joel Chandler Harris, who was the famous editor of the Atlanta Constitution back in the day. And he grew up in the rural South and grew up on a plantation. And he wrote these stories based on the stories he heard from blacks who worked on the plantation at the time. So all of the stories about Briar Rabbit, all of the stories that appeared in Song of the South were actually African folklore that had been passed down through the ages. Joel Chandler Harris wrote those stories. Those stories were passed down verbally. He wrote them down, and he wrote them down phonetically. He's racist because ladies and gentlemen. He was writing those stories phonetically so the children of the time could understand the language. That's all. As a matter of fact, Joel Chandler Harris, who they allege to be a racist, was in fact a progressive Southerner who advocated for the education of black children. As a matter of fact, it was Joel Chandler Harris who, long before MLK was born, actually advocated for treating people, black or white, based on their character. For some reason, that gets lost in the narrative that they share with us, for some reason. Because, again, you're not getting the full story here when it comes to the cancel culture mob. But there's something else you should know about Song of the South. You see, yes, it's true that there were some within the NAACP who were very concerned about that movie when it came out in the 1940s. But there were also some within the NAACP who thought it was a beautiful movie, that it was a blockbuster movie, that, by the way, it was a movie that was groundbreaking. And you see, when the local news and when the national news covers this story, they leave that part out, that, yes, while the NAACP had problems and said that this movie glorified slavery, when in fact it did not, because the story was based after the Civil War, when the emancipation of slaves had already happened, in reality, ladies and gentlemen, it had nothing to do with that. As a matter of fact, Song of the South, according to the history books, was noted because of a specific thing that happened during the award season. Because the gentleman who played Uncle Remus, a guy by the name of James Baskett, a black man, won an Academy Award for his portrayal of Uncle Remus in Song of the South. The first time in the history of the Academy Awards that a black man had been honored with an award. By the way, that racist gibberish song, Zippity Doo Da Zippity A, it also won an Oscar. So again, context matters with everything, ladies and gentlemen, and we should know that by now. So when people go out there and just say, oh, well, Splash Mountain is racist, everybody knows a big log going over a waterfall at 45 degrees is racist. You have a responsibility as a thinking, functioning human being to say, well, why is that so? What makes Splash Mountain racist? Briar Rabbit, that's racist. Really? Well, sir, did you know that Briar Rabbit is actually a character of African folklore? So understand this, the cancel culture mob, in their effort and their quest to be inclusive, you know what they did? They just canceled an amusement park ride based on a movie that got a black guy the first Academy Award in history based on African folklore. Seems to me that whoever was trying to shut down all of this is actually the racist. But again, we don't like to throw around that word. Getting a series of text messages from our friend Martha Zoller at WDUN. Todd, you are right. Right on in your historical accuracy. Thank you, Martha Zoller. But it's true, ladies and gentlemen, we got to start calling this stuff out, and we're going to do our best to educate you so you can go armed with the facts and you can fight these morons. And last night got word that right here in Memphis, Tennessee, that a city councilwoman is trying to change the name of Audubon Park, named after the naturalist and the Birdman. The Big Birdman, not Sesame Street, the other Big Birdman. The naturalist, John James Audubon. The guy died before the Civil War even happened. And they want to rename the park. Now, I was listening to KWAM, our morning show, and Ben Dieter, the morning show host, you heard him on our program yesterday, was rightfully riled up about this. One of our other staffers said, I had no idea who Audubon was. So they want you to believe that people are literally being triggered by the name Audubon Park, which is not true. It's just not true. It's true the guy owned slaves, but you know what? A lot of people owned slaves back in that time, in that era before the Civil War. But Memphis actually has something, and you better check your town here, folks, because your town may actually have something called a renaming commission. And this renaming commission goes around and they rename anything connected to anything that might trigger anybody. They have renamed Nathan Bedford Forest Park. They took down all the statues in Memphis. They renamed Jefferson Davis Park. They renamed Confederacy Park. So they're renaming all of these parks, and they're telling the people, and the people believe this. They tell the people, if we just take down all the statues of the Civil War generals, then we will have a peaceful community. Well, they've been doing this since 2013, and by golly, folks, you can do your homework here. Memphis is now a more deadly place than it was before we had the statues up. I'm just telling you, check the facts. They even dug up the body of a Confederate war general because it was in a city park, and apparently people going out and enjoying a fried chicken and potato salad picnic. And no, that doesn't make me racist. I'm from the South, and we have fried chicken and potato salad at our picnics. Apparently people in the park got triggered because they knew there was a dead Confederate general buried in the ground. So what do? They literally dug up the body. You're not allowed to rest in peace in Memphis, Tennessee. So my recommendation to the renaming commission, and I wrote this yesterday, and I hesitate to say this, but I think in the long run, because we're fiscal conservatives here on this program, I think what we need to do nationwide is just simply rename anything named after a dead white guy. If it's a park, a building, if it's a statue, a boat, a car, we just rename everything that is named after a dead white guy. And I think that'll solve everything. By the way, I also believe that we have to rename the city of Memphis. Memphis is named after the great Egyptian city, Memphis, Egypt. After reading the Old Testament many times in Sunday school class, I think we can all agree that Egypt had a rather sully history when it comes to slavery, right? And I can't imagine anybody on that progressive Memphis City Council that would want to have our beloved city named after a hotbed of slavery. Really, America? What say you? 844-747-8868. You know what? We're not going to hold for a call. I want to go to Bill in North Carolina right now, because he wants to weigh in on this Uncle Remus story. Bill, did I get it right?
You got it right, Todd. There are morals in those Uncle Remus stories. And let me tell you a real quick anecdote here. I'm 64 years old, started first grade in 64. And we had a substitute teacher that would come in, and she had an old book under her arm of Joel Chandler Hatless. And when she substituted, she would read to us from that. We would heard about Brer Rabbit and Brer Fox and Brer Bear when she substituted. Now, you fast forward 12 years later, it's the last day of school. The English teacher was out. This lady shows up. She's in her 90s. She had her book. Now, by that time, we were totally integrated. This is in Southside, Virginia. We were 76% black in the county at that time. So we had white children and black children begging on the last day of school, 17 and 18-year-olds, Ms. Watkins, will you please read Brer Rabbit to us? And she did, and we all enjoyed it. And that's the background we came from. We didn't think it was racist. It was good stories that we enjoyed that had morals to them.
Well, of course it was, Bill, and we all grew up in this time period, and you're absolutely right. I remember when we would get those Disney storybooks about Brer Rabbit, and nobody thought about racism. You're right. These stories taught lessons about morality. They were almost like morality plays in storybook form. And we're just going to have to start tackling this head on. That's the only way we're going to be able to fight back against these folks. Otherwise, they're going to erase all of our culture. All right, Bill, appreciate that call. Thank you for listening. We're going to open up the phone lines here, folks. 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. How do you fight back, ladies and gentlemen? How do you fight back against this cancel culture mob in your neighborhoods? This is the Todd Stern Show. The Biden administration has caused a financial crisis, and they don't have a clue how to fix it, folks. Our economy is in trouble, and you need to take steps to protect yourself. Now, if all your money is tied up in stocks, bonds, and traditional markets, you're vulnerable. Gold is one of the best ways to protect your retirement. No matter what happens, you own your gold. It's real, it's physical, and it's always been valuable since the dawn of time. Legacy Precious Metals is the company I trust for investing in gold. They can help you roll your retirement account into a gold-backed IRA where you still own the physical gold. They can also ship gold and precious metals safely and securely to your house. Did you know $1 million worth of gold can fit in a shoebox? Call Legacy at 866-649-0304 or visit them online at legacypminvestments.com. That's 866-649-0304 or visit them online at legacypminvestments.com. It seems to me that this whole episode should be a celebration of America and the melting pot we are. That you would have this young white kid, this writer from Georgia, who did not know his father, who was an apprentice at a print shop, writing down these stories and advancing and sharing African folklore and African stories with an entire nation. You would think that would be a story that we could celebrate and that we could say this is truly America at its best. But now, today's modern society, they're turning it into something ugly. It just angers me when this happens. 844-747-8868. Let's go to the phone lines. Regina on listening to us on WDUN there in the great state of Georgia that gave us Mr. Harris. Welcome, and what say you?
Yes, sir. Thank you for taking my call. It was so odd. Yesterday I was thinking about not Joel Chandler Harris, but the man who was in the movie, I forgot his name, singing Zippity-Doo-Dah, Zippity-A. And I was just thinking about it over and over, not knowing what you were going to talk about today. And I was thinking about, I need to tell my grandchildren about that. They'll never know. They'll never hear that. And I remember seeing the movie as a child, and it was just beautiful with those birds lighting on his shoulder. And then, of course, his voice was wonderful. And as I walked for exercise, so as I was walking, I just kept thinking about that and thinking about it. And I just think it's God that brought it to my mind. And then here you are talking about it today. Isn't that something?
It is. I'm just getting a little chill bumps here listening to you share that, Regina. And I think back to that beautiful song, and you can't help when you sing the song, you can't help but smile. And if
right.
for the longest time, when you walked into a Disney theme park, that's the song you would hear when you walked into the theme park, but they banned it because people said the song was racist, and yet they never could explain what made that song racist.
Oh, well, it's all just diddly squat. But anyway, we'll pray against it.
Yes, we will, and we're gonna keep sharing the truth, and that's what we do on this program, and we try to have a good time when we do it. Regina, thank you for that call, and you keep humming that tune, and folks, I it's very hard. I don't know if you can even find the movie anymore because Disney has pretty much laid down the law. It will not be seen on any of their platforms. That coming from Bob Iger, who's in charge of Disney now. But to be able to, but just to tear down a ride. Look, the reason why people in our industry don't like to talk about this is because their corporate overlords will tell them you can't dip your toe into race. You can't do that. That'll rile people up. You know what? We're not afraid of riling people up here because we speak truth to the culture. 844-747-8868. That's our phone number. Hang tight if you're on hold. We're coming back. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Birds on my shoulder. It's the truth. It's actual.
Everything is satisfactual, zippity-doo-dah.
I've noticed that when I go to the shopping mall and buy one of the towels, they just don't seem to work very well. They feel too soft and too lotion-y. They just don't absorb the water. Well, our good friend Mike Lindell over at MyPillow has found a solution, and you've got to get yourself one of his brand new towels. These things are incredible. And best of all, they're made right here in the U.S., and all of his towels come with a 60-day money-back guarantee. You're going to be able to get a six-piece set, two bath towels, two hand towels, and two washcloths, all made with USA cotton. They are soft yet absorbent, and you're normally going to pay over $100. But thanks to our good friend Mike Lindell, $39.99. That's it. It's a great deal. All you have to do, go to MyPillow.com and click on the new radio listener specials and get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the towels. Just enter the promo code STARNS, or you can call 800-839-8506 for some incredible radio specials. Again, MyPillow.com, promo code STARNS.
All right, folks, we're going to be checking in with Congressman Scott Perry. He's chairman of the House Freedom Caucus. He'll be along in just a little while. Also, we're going to be talking to a teacher who was fired after she voiced concerns about what her own kids were learning in school. We'll be talking to Lindsay Barr, who, by the way, happens to be from Georgia. We'll be going to her in just a little while. But right now, I want to get right to our phones. Joe in North Carolina, WHKP, our great affiliate there. Hi, Joe. What's on your mind today?
Todd, how are you doing today?
I'm good. Thank you for asking.
Good. My question to you is, how do you fight back, stand up against a group of people that doesn't care what your opinion is? They don't want to hear what you have to say. What they say goes. How do you stand up against that?
Well, it's hard. It's certainly not easy, Joe, but you've got to, you know, for example, here in Memphis with the city council about to consider changing the name of Audubon Park, you got to get down to city council meeting. You got to write your name down so you can get up and have your say before the city council. And Joe, I'm a believer that if you speak truth to the culture, it is going to make a difference. It may not be right away, but it is going to make a difference, and somebody has to stand up and correct these outright lies. And that's what happened here. Nobody bothered to do that.
Right. Well, I'm with you. I mean, you know, you and I are the same age. We were raised in the same time period, and we've got many of the same beliefs. And I'm with you. I'm just fed up with all this. It's just ridiculous.
And, Joe, I bet, just like me, and I grew up in North Mississippi, right across the state line from Memphis. I grew up from grade one. I had my first grade teacher, a black lady. We had integrated classrooms, and I would bet beyond a shadow of a doubt that you had the same situation in your schools growing up, and yet there are people today that would have you believe that back in the 1970s there were people still in slavery in the South.
Correct, and I'm also a firm believer in the racist thoughts. You aren't racist unless you're taught that and raised that. Because as I was growing up, we were taught to care about everybody. We accepted everybody. Racist thoughts, it didn't even cross our minds. We had black friends and family that we grew up with, and still to this day. And I believe it's taught and instilled.
Well, I'm with you 1,000% there, Joe. And that's what concerns me about critical race theory. These lessons that are happening in public school classrooms are simply meant for one reason, and that is to turn one race of people against the other race. And that is a dangerous thing, and that will literally destroy this country if we do not stop that and address it. And God bless governors like Ron DeSantis, Glenn Youngkin over in Virginia that are taking a stand and outlawing this kind of crap in the classrooms.
Oh, I agree 100%.
All right, Joe, appreciate your comments. Thanks for calling in today. Let's go to Iowa. Jackson, listening to us on our live stream. Hi, Jackson, what's up?
Hey, Todd, I want to make a comment about Zip-Biddy-Doo-Dah. I think that movie is so beautifully put together. And if you want to watch it, it's on YouTube. I just pulled over to YouTube, and it's got over 10 million views. Don't fret, people. Thank God for YouTube. You can still watch it. And, in fact, it's such a beautiful thing. I hope when I die, and hopefully I go to heaven, I'm in his place singing that song, and the birds and the bees and the hummingbirds and bluebirds are on his shoulder, and it's just such a fantasy that I want to live it.
And it's, you know, it's sad when you actually listen to that song. Kyle, play it again. I got to hear that. I need to get in a good mood today. There we go, Jackson. You can't help but smile.
My, oh, my, what a wonderful
day. My, oh, my, what a wonderful day.
Plenty of sunshine.
Well, it's a little cloudy and overcast in Memphis. There you go, Jackson.
And it shows where the black children are singing it, too. He's going down the lane, and there's black children singing it.
Everybody's having a good time, and they just want to. You know what it is? Unfortunately, the bluebird of happiness is dumping a big, well, anyway. Jackson.
To hell with him, Todd. To hell with him. Just watch it on YouTube. Support
I'm with you.
YouTube.
All right, Jackson. Appreciate that call. Jackson says you can find the movie on YouTube. 844-747-8868. That is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. There is a crazy story coming out of Missouri. This is mind-boggling. So parents, they just had MLK Day, and parents were asked by this local school, hey, we want to take the kids to this breakfast, and it's an annual thing, and it's a good thing because it's all about inclusion, and they say we want your kids to go see this. So they send, the school does the right thing. This is in Columbia Public Schools in Missouri, and all the middle schoolers, the parents got these consent letters. So they sent the consent forms, the parents fill it out, and they say, yes, our children can go and participate in this wholesome, family-friendly Martin Luther King Jr. event. They call it the Columbia Values Diversity Breakfast. I mean, that sounds like a nice, wholesome event. Well, when the kids got there, it turned out that it wasn't exactly family-friendly. It turned out to be a drag show, and they had adult entertainers that were cavorting about with the children. And the parents were like, what in the holy you-know-what is going on here? And the parents are fired up because they produced the permission slips, and their permission slip said nothing about adult entertainers, nothing about drag queens, nothing. So they're all up in a Twitter over in Missouri. The attorney general is now investigating, and he's calling for these school officials to be fired over the adult-themed drag show breakfast. And so is the governor. The governor's getting involved now. Everybody's calling for investigations. We understand about 30 middle schoolers attended the breakfast. The group that was hosting this, called the Inclusion Plus Performance Group. The city's website says the event typically features a breakfast, award presentation, artistic celebrations, and keynote addresses. Well, here's the trouble. It turns out the thing was coordinated by the city's Office of Cultural Affairs. Well, there you go. One parent posted the school permission slip and noted that there would only be songs and performances, but did not mention anything about a drag show. The school district said that attendees are not provided details about the performances in advance and described the drag show portion as simply dance and singing performance. The statement also said there was unfortunate misinformation about the event. Doesn't look like it, except the misinformation sent to moms and dads. Missouri Senate President Pro Tem Caleb Rowden tweeted that his office has been flooded with emails and calls from parents upset about the event, and they want action. The governor said he was deeply concerned that the children were subjected to adult performers during the MLK celebration. You know, one of these drag queen shows, I saw some photographs. Somebody was sharing, maybe Charlie Kirk, somebody, one of those guys. And they actually had one of the drag queens, and he had the drag queen had a microphone, and the microphone was strategically placed where his private parts are, and he had a child talking into the microphone as it was positioned in front of the drag queen's private parts. Ladies and gentlemen, that's not just grooming. That is a sex crime. 844-747-8868. The lesson here from Missouri, you better do your homework before signing off on any permission slip. And if your kid's going somewhere outside the school building, you probably need to be there. Otherwise, your kid could be dancing around a stripper pole with a 300-pound guy in spandex and a feather boa. Let's go to Rebecca in Maine. WLOB wants to weigh in on the song of the South, Sweet Potato Pie. And sorry about that, Rebecca.
No problem. Thank you for having me, Todd.
Glad to do.
And hi from the state, that lobster state here. well, the song of the South, you know, there used to be these wonderful movies that you could go see, Robinson Crusoe, USN, you know, movies that you would feel just so comfortable taking your children to see, and that was one of them. Now they want to make everything something wrong, and that all has to do with one of the other things you were just talking about, corrupting our children. It's all for corrupting our children. So this is wrong. You can't have that, but we can put your kids in front of this disgusting stuff that is, and you know what? I don't care what adults do. I'm not even going to try to take on adults, but children are minors, and they should never, ever be influenced by what's going on out there. The Song of the South is good, wholesome, and you addressed it earlier. The man won an Academy Award for his performance. The song won an award for its performance. Need I say more?
You know what, Rebecca? That's it. And you know, another film that catches so much flack is Gone with the Wind. And what people do not understand about that, or maybe they forget, is that Hattie McDaniel, who played the role of Mammy in that movie, was the first African-American in history to win an Oscar. She won for Best Supporting Actress there from Wichita, Kansas. And again, that movie has pretty much been canceled. There was a time, even here in Memphis, Tennessee, they refused to play that movie at the big theater here. Very, very sad.
It's probably a good thing I have it in my personal film inventory then, isn't it?
There you go. Same here, Rebecca. And by the way, I was on a long-haul flight from LAX to JFK a couple of years ago, and that just happened to be one of the selections on the in-flight entertainment. So you know what I did. I had to watch, and that's a long movie, but it got me across the country, and I'm sure I triggered somebody on that airplane.
I am confident you did, sir. I'm confident you did.
But you know what, Rebecca? To quote Clark Gable, frankly, my dear. Well, there you go. Rebecca,
I hope you have a lovely day, sir.
You too. That's Rebecca, WLOB, the Big Lobster. Let's go to our good buddy, Mike, in Chattanooga, NougaRadio.com in East Tennessee. Mike, what say you?
Ooh, I think I'm going to get myself a lobster for dinner tonight. Advertising works, you know. How you doing, Todd? You hit my hot button again there, buddy. And I'm so happy this happened. I wish they do it in every school because they do it in Chattanooga. And parents deserve this. They're getting exactly what they deserve because these government schools need to be closed down as public nuisances. I knew it when I was in ninth grade, and I wasn't pretty smart then. I smelled the socialism then. Every parent should be getting issued a voucher to send their child to whatever school they want to and get rid of these government institutions of lower learning. They took out God at the schools. They instituted a socialist policy. They don't teach civics. They got rid of great programs like I had in school, which was auto mechanics and engineering and electronics. And what are you left with? Well, you need people to collect trash too, Todd. And that's what's going to be left in the government school systems, trash collectors, because they teach trash. So keep doing this. I love it. This is like Samuel Adams sowed the seeds of dissent for 45 years. Lighting the fires, the brush fighters of individual liberty in people's minds. And the king thought he was a joker until the first shot was fired. And he said, I think he is not a joker anymore. So good. Keep doing it. Keep doing this. They're burying themselves, Todd. every parent should demand at every school district, we want vouchers. And the government system of lower learning will go away.
Mike, isn't it interesting? You know, when you look at these public schools, and there was a time when the public schools were built, they were not these palaces they are today. And of course, nowadays the thinking is, well, children have to, you know, they have to be educated in an exotic building that's, you know, state of the art, whatever. You know, that wasn't the way it was for a good many years. As a matter of fact, I would say the greatest generation was educated in fairly, you know, decrepit schoolhouses. They were taught the basics. They didn't have all of these electives. They weren't learning how to do pronoun usage. They were learning the basics, how to read and write. They were learning about science and mathematics. And the country seemed to do pretty darn well. And now look at what they're doing. These kids are coming out of these public schools. They've been brainwashed to hate America, Mike, and they have no discernible skill set.
No, I know that. I mean, as an employer, and you're an employer, we know that. We feel that every day. But the left tries to hijack the language. They can't change the Constitution easily. So they hijack the language. One is gay. The second one is education. And I always say to teachers and so-called educators, let's use the correct language. You're not educating. You're schooling. The definition of education is to give proper moral, physical, and intellectual instruction. You're not allowed to teach morals. You just got out of the school. Technically, they are not allowed to teach morals. Therefore, by the definition of the dictionary, use it Webster's, use any dictionary you want, they're not teaching morals. They're not educating. They're schooling. And that's the problem, Todd.
Right, Mike, there, Mike, you're spot on accurate, and we got to leave it there. We're late for a break, but God bless you, sir, and we love all of our listeners over there in the Chattanooga area. And to Mike's point, ladies and gentlemen, go back to Song of the South. Those were morality lessons. And where do those morality lessons come from? They were originated from African folklore. So it tells me that whoever has a problem with Song of the South, in effect, has a problem with African folklore. And again, that sounds mighty racist to me. Got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show. So what do you guys think about Marjorie Taylor Greene? There is a story on Mediaite, and they're quoting a report from NBC News that Marjorie Taylor Greene, MTG, looking to be Donald Trump's vice presidential pick. NBC's Jonathan Allen reports that multiple people have spoken to MTG about her ambitions. The second-term congresswoman aligned herself with McCarthy, acting as one of his most vocal allies. I mean, she was going out there and crucifying these House Freedom Caucus guys and gals. Former Trump advisor Steve Bannon told NBC News that Greene is not shy about wanting to be Trump's VP, and she believes she's on the short list. She sees herself on the short list, according to Bannon, quote, paraphrasing Cokie Roberts, when MTG looks in the mirror, she sees a potential president smiling back. Bannon called Greene aligning herself with McCarthy a deliberate power move that set her up with committee position and as a real player in her party. Quote, she was prepared to take the intense heat hatred short term for the long term goal of being a player. A second source, not willing to throw his name out there Bannon style, but said that the congresswoman has been clear her ultimate goal is to become vice president. What do you think about that, folks? All the polling data shows that Trump's going to be the guy. He's going to be the nominee. It doesn't really matter about anybody else. It really doesn't. So the question is, who is going to be the VP? Who do you folks like? We're going to be taking your calls on this next hour. Is it MTG? Is it DeSantis? Mike Pence? What about Christine Ohm or Nikki Haley? 844-747-8868. That's our phone number. What say you, America? We'll be right back.
Yeah. live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee. It's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, hello, America. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. So very happy to have you with us today. Well, we got a lot going on here, ladies and gentlemen. A lot going on. 844-747-8868. That is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Well, there's a lot happening at the border where the Republicans are vowing to impeach Secretary Mayorkas. We understand that Congressman Scott Perry, the chairman of the House Freedom Caucus, co-sponsoring articles of impeachment against Mr. Mayorkas. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Always an honor to have the congressman with us today. Congressman, first of all, good day to you. And I'm very curious to know why you want to impeach Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas.
Well, Todd, good day to you as well, and good day to America, because Republicans are finally in charge of one of the branches of the legislature, and there can be some accountability. So, look, Secretary Mayorkas has made the case for impeachment himself. He's not only flouting the law, just ignoring it, but he's actively objecting to the law and refusing to follow it, and imperiling the citizens of the United States of America. We each take an oath to uphold and defend the Constitution of the United States, not the Constitution of Mexico or Guatemala or Colombia or Venezuela. We all want to help, Todd. Everybody wants to help these people in need. But the way to help them, the people in need, is not by stomping on the face of the people that you serve. And the people that we serve pay the taxes. It's their schools that are in peril. It's their streets. It's their hospitals. It's their paycheck and their wallet that's in peril. And our duty is first to them. And so, with all due respect, Secretary Mayorkas has presided over record after record of illegal crossings into the United States of America, not the least of which is Chinese-made fentanyl coming in and killing American citizens more, double every year than what we lost in 20 years in combat in Vietnam. Now, many people don't see an issue. Maybe it's not come to their hometown or their family. But by the time it does, unfortunately, it's deadly serious. And we have a duty to make sure that we preserve the tranquility, the domestic tranquility that the people in America have a right given them to them by God to enjoy.
You know what I find amazing about all this, Congressman? You've got, we're talking about city-sized levels of illegals coming across, and there's just simply no way that we can sustain those numbers as a nation. I thought Senator Marsha Blackburn from Tennessee pointing out that we're talking about the size of Knoxville, Chattanooga, and Nashville coming across that southern border, and those numbers are just unsustainable. And most Americans agree. As a matter of fact, new survey out showing most Americans want absolutely no amnesty for illegal aliens.
Yeah, well, look, you can't be... Look, like I said, we all want to help. We know that people want a better life. We get it. We all want that. But you can't be rewarded for breaking the law. And as your first act, if your first act is to come to this new country and break our law by coming here illegally, it doesn't portend good things. I'm sure that there are a lot of well-meaning people in these huge masses, 250,000, a quarter of a million last month. But there's also terrorists in there. There are also known criminals. There's also the drug component coming into it, and there's also the violent cartel component coming into it. California, a border state, of course, losing 300,000 of its own citizens last year because they're starting to realize the failure of that state. People want to live in safe streets. They don't want to have to worry that they can't go outside and worried about a drive-by shooting because they're involved in gang-related activity just by living in their community. They don't want to worry about their cars being stolen, their kids being exposed to fentanyl. They don't want any of that. And all that is unbridled. And so we need to take, like, the message from the canary in the coal mine here. Let's not do this to our country. It's bad enough. It's destroying one state for sure. but let's not do it to the rest of the country. And, of course, the Biden administration, under Secretary Mayorkas, is making sure it's not being done just to those border states. In the dark of night, they are transporting these people illegally that have come here illegally to all of the states, the interior of the country, to then prey on you. And these people, a lot of them, they don't have skills, they don't have jobs. So what are they going to do, Todd? They're going to have to resort to crime. It's unfortunate, but it's reality. Why? How is that good for the American citizen that wakes up in the dark of night, fills their lunchbox and heads out to work and hopes their kids get on the school bus safely on time? It's not good for them, and you don't need to be a rocket scientist to figure that out.
No, you don't. As a matter of fact, we have a new survey up on our website that shows the majority of Americans would be willing to volunteer to serve on the border to help stop the illegals from coming across. I mean, this is how crazy it is. A Trafalgar Group survey, 52% of voters said they would support their state governor calling for citizen volunteers to help protect the southern border. I mean, this is where we are, Congressman. The American people are frustrated, and they are at wit's end here.
Yeah, absolutely absurd. The federal government, even under this record inflation and pain and suffering economically that the American people are dealing with, has record revenue. They're taking in record amounts of money, yet people are still willing, having their pockets being picked by the federal government, to then just go themselves and trying to secure their own border. How absurd is that? We have law enforcement for a reason. We have Border Patrol for a reason. And the reason isn't to welcome people with their drugs and illegal activity into tranquil neighborhoods. That's not why we have Border Patrol there. It's not to process them. It is to stop them.
Unbelievable. Well, I think this is an important thing that you're doing, Congressman, and we're going to be staying up to speed on that. Also, I would love to get your take on what DirecTV is doing. AT&T, DirecTV, now canceling Newsmax. They'd already deplatformed One America News. Newsmax happened to be the only conservative cable channel that had been broadcasting Trump's rallies and addresses. And then last night, they got deplatformed. Should we be concerned about this?
Well, you should be concerned. Look, the large woke media outlets are censoring individual voices where they can and mass communication voices where the message is unpalatable to them. The good news is that there's going to be alternatives. It's going to drive the market for alternatives. And these woke corporations are going to start going broke. They're going to lose market share. And hopefully they'll be dinosaurs of the past and we can have a free open media and a free open market where the ideas of everybody are heard and we can all make our assessment. Of course, that's not what they want and that's not what some in the government want. But as long as we can still have a competitive market, there's going to be replacements. It's unfortunate it has come to this, but people are going to have to make choices. And if they appreciate being lied to every day and receiving Soviet-style propaganda, then they're going to accept it. But you and I both know, Todd, because they're listeners to your show, that they are not going to accept it.
No, you're right. Absolutely. All right, Congressman, we're going to leave it there. Appreciate all your great work. And you guys got a lot of stuff going on, a lot of fires to put out in Washington.
Well, we do indeed, but we're going to get after him, Todd, and we got 2 years to really put the pedal to the metal, so that's what we're focused on.
All right, Congressman Scott Perry, everybody, from the 10th Congressional District over in Pennsylvania, Chairman of the House Freedom Caucus. Congressman, thank you.
Thank you. God bless you.
All right, yeah, let me give you this information here, folks, on Newsmax. This is a big deal, and we're expecting Chris Ruddy to phone in sometime during the show today. Chris, of course, the founder of Newsmax TV, a friend of this show, and I'm proud to be a contributor on Newsmax TV. Around midnight, they pulled the plug on Newsmax, and I'm talking about AT&T and DirecTV. They pulled the plug. Now, you need to understand what's going on here. We're about to jump into an election cycle that is going to be the most important of our lifetime. And DirecTV just told 13 million viewers, you're not allowed to watch Newsmax on our platform anymore. They've already deplatformed One America News and now Newsmax. Only one conservative news outlet is left, and that is Fox News. And it's only a matter of time before they give them the heave-ho. But here's the problem with what's going on there. So DirecTV is actually paying these cable channels a fee, and they pay them money, and they're broadcasting these channels. But they refuse to do the same thing for Newsmax. So they're taking care of all the liberal channels, but not the conservative channels. So here's what I want you to do here, folks. I want you to write down this telephone number. This is the direct number for DirecTV customer service. And you can call them. It's toll-free. And we need your help. They need to put Newsmax back on the air. And if they don't, if you're a DirecTV customer, I want to urge you, consider canceling your subscription to DirecTV. It's that big of a deal here, folks. We all have to stand together. And if we do, DirecTV is going to back off this censorship. But they are literally trying to silence conservative voices in America. That's all they're trying to do with this. So here's the telephone number for DirecTV, 877-763-9762. I'm going to say that again, 877-763-9762. Now, when you speak to a live operator, you need to let them know you're aware that Newsmax's live stream is ending on other platforms, so unless you get it on DirecTV, you're going to have to cancel their service. It's that simple. Now, if you're an AT&T customer, you can call them, 888-855-2338. That's 888-855-2338. And that's how you can let them know directly. But there's also something else you can do, even if you're not a customer of DirecTV or AT&T. You can call your member of Congress, call your senator, and demand that they stop AT&T and DirecTV from censoring conservative media. So there's a lot of work we've got to do today, folks. This is really appalling that something like this would happen. I mean, Newsmax is one of the fastest growing cable news channels in the entire country right now. People are getting sick and tired of the wokeness that's infecting a Fox News channel, and they're tuning into Newsmax. And I hear from a lot of you folks who watch me every Thursday. So again, call your member of Congress, call your senator, and then give us a call back and let us know what they told you. All right, we got to take a break here, 844-747-8868. You know, we tell you all the time, you gotta stop supporting companies like AT&T. And one of the alternatives is a great wireless company called Patriot Mobile. They're America's only Christian conservative wireless carrier. They're fighting for freedom. They fight for liberty. They fight for religious liberty. And they're going to fight for you. They have an incredible wireless service. PatriotMobile.com/Todd. That's PatriotMobile.com/Todd. Use my promo code Todd. They're going to give you a great discount. Now, if you're a veteran or a first responder, they've got you guys covered. You're going to be getting some additional discounts. That website again, PatriotMobile.com/Todd, promo code Todd. I am curious to know who people like here for the VP slot on the Trump ticket. MTG is really wanting the job. That's according to Steve Bannon. So Steve Bannon would be in the know on this. But who do you like? A lot of names being floated around. Mike Pompeo, by the way, not mentioned. No, he's going to run for president. Pompeo and Pence. Nikki Haley is floating her name out there. But a lot of people are sort of still undecided. So a lot of good choices. Kristi Noem would be great. I'm a big fan of Kim Reynolds in Iowa. You folks out there in the heartland, KXEL country. I'm a big fan of Kim Reynolds. I think she would be great. Some people are saying Senator Tim Scott out of South Carolina would be a good choice as well. So we'll be taking your calls on that. Who do you like for Trump's VP? 844-747-8868. Again, 844-747-8868. Now, there is a confusing story from Fox News about a Vanderbilt professor, Luis Leiva. Is an assistant professor of mathematics at Vanderbilt University in Nashville, delivered a lecture titled Undergraduate Mathematics Education as a White Cisthropatriarchal Space and Opportunities for Structural Disruption to Advance Queer of Color Justice. You know, if I was in that class, I would just go ahead, put a big zero on the paper, and walk out the door because there's no way I'm passing that class. The lecture consisted of two parts. The first half of the lecture showed findings from research about the educational experiences of 39 undergraduate queer and trans students of color pursuing STEM majors across historically white and minority-serving universities in the United States. Why are they wasting their time here? You see, ladies and gentlemen, this is what I'm talking about. We've got this massive omnibus spending bill. We're funding all of this crap. Now, I understand that Vanderbilt is a private school, but they're still getting government money. So why are we spending money on this garbage? Who cares? All we need to know is the best person for the job. That's it. The lecture states that the findings depict how Black, Latin, and Asian QTs, is that on the, what's a QT? Oh, QT is queer transgender. That's what they're calling it now. Anyway, the findings depict how Black, Latin, and Asian QT students' narratives of experience reflect forms of intersectionality or instances of oppression and resistance at intersecting systems of holy. What the crap is this garbage? Folks, I'm telling you, the university system is broken in America. That's all that is. Can we just, again, just find people that can do science and technology? And engineering and mechanics, is that possible to do? Do we have to make everything about race and sex and gender? Do we really? Leyva delivered the lecture at the largest mathematics gathering in the world. That happened at in Boston. According to Vanderbilt University's website, Leyva is an assistant professor of mathematics education. Great. Then teach kids that 2 plus 2 equals 4, not 5. And could somebody at Vanderbilt teach somebody how to make proper change? Is that possible? Because the only job somebody from Vanderbilt University is going to be getting is down at the local Piggly Wiggly, working the cashier line. And even then, I don't think they're going to be that qualified. 844-747-8868. That is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Folks, we're really excited about the response so far from our big trip to the Holy Land. We're planning on taking 100 of our listeners to Israel in November of this year, and we would love for you to be a part of our week-long journey there, 7 days, 7 nights, first-class accommodations, and you're going to be visiting all of the major Holy Land sites, and you're also going to be getting to meet a lot of Israeli government officials, a private tour of the Knesset. It's going to be absolutely wonderful, and we want you to be a part of it. All you have to do is go to our website, toddstearns.com, and click on our Israel banner. It's at the top of the page. You can also call Dylan, and he'll be happy to take your information as well. That number, if you'd like information on our upcoming trip to Israel, 844-747-8868, or you can, again, get more information at toddstearns.com. We'll be right back, America.
Good morning, Todd. If 10,000 Russians crossing the Ukraine border is an invasion, then why aren't the 2 million people crossing the American southern border not called an invasion? Todd, I think we ought to have Congress who can declare war. Congress can declare war on the drug and human trafficking cartels and any neighboring nations that support them. Send our troops to the border and do whatever it takes to end this nonsense, which has been going on for decades.
All right, I like the way Phil from Daphne, Alabama is thinking. Yes, sir. If it's an invasion in Ukraine, it's an invasion in America. Very simple. Welcome back to the Todd Stearns radio program. So glad you guys have decided to join us today. Saw an interesting story and an essay written by a mom. Her name is Lindsay Barr. The headline, I'm a mom and a teacher who was fired after voicing concerns for my own kids. Well, let's go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Honored to have with us Phil Seckler, who is with Alliance Defending Freedom, the legal firm representing Lindsay Barr, who is also on the Newsmaker line. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
Lindsay, I want to start with you, and I want you to share your story with our listeners. So you said you had some concerns about some books in your kid's school. Tell us what happened. What did you find?
Hey there. I did. I was a substitute teacher in Richmond Hill. I had taught in the school district for 10 years and stepped away from a full-time position to take on a part-time role. And in doing so, it put me in the building, you know, more so I could see what was happening. And I learned of this new library program where they were going to be reading different books to all of the students. Students as young as 4, 6 was my youngest child, and he was going to be a part. Anyway, when I saw the pictures from the book, I raised my concern with the school administration, and just a few days later, they fired me.
Lindsay, tell me about these books. What was the content that concerned you?
Well, we are a Christian family, Todd, and we believe that marriage is a union between a man and a woman. And so this particular book for this particular week just had images that were contrary to our beliefs and the values that we deeply hold in our home. And we wanted the right to control the narrative, so we raised concern.
So you raised your concerns. You took those concerns you had to the principal, and what did the principal tell you?
In short, that she heard my concerns, my children would be excused. That was basically all that she said, and then it was just a couple days later that they terminated me.
Just out of the blue? Did they give you any reason why?
Not at first. In the meeting they did, you know, they felt like I wasn't going to be able to support all of the students in the building with my religious views. So, yeah, I was pretty abruptly let go.
Lindsay, this is jaw-dropping. And Phil Seckler from Alliance Defending Freedom, I have to imagine it was jaw-dropping to you. I mean, you guys hear about these cases all the time. But this is really shocking that they would give Lindsay the heave-ho. Did the school district break the law? Did they do anything wrong?
Yeah, we were shocked very much, Todd, when we heard about this case, because the First Amendment gives public school teachers the right to express concern on matters of public importance, to speak about things that are affecting their children. So for Lindsay to be fired, that was pretty astonishing. And in fact, what's really interesting is just before she was fired, Georgia passed a law that gives parents the rights to review and object to material used in their children's classrooms. So Lindsay was doing exactly what the law said, and yet the school fired her for expressing her opinion.
So I understand a lawsuit's been filed, Phil. Is that right?
We filed the lawsuit. We're going forward collecting testimony and looking forward to trial. That's correct.
And what are you alleging this district has done? What law did they break?
They violated Lindsay's First Amendment rights to speak freely and also to have free exercise of her religious beliefs in terminating her.
Lindsay, I have to imagine this has been a traumatic moment for you and your husband, but was it a difficult decision to stand up and say, you know what, this is not right, my rights have been violated, we've got to do something about this?
Honestly, it wasn't. We didn't even really discuss it before I took my concern, because these are our beliefs. This is who we are, and our religious beliefs dictate how we live our lives. And so in protecting our children, it was what had to be done.
I have to imagine, Lindsay, that it was your faith. You wrote that your faith motivated you to get into teaching. I mean, your faith is really why we do everything in our lives.
Yeah, absolutely. It's who we are.
All right, Phil Seckler from Alliance Defending Freedom on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Lindsay Barr, a mom and substitute teacher. Phil, where are you guys at in the legal process? Have you heard from the school district? Have they filed a response?
They have filed a response, and so now we're in the process of, you know, collecting testimony from the various school employees who are involved to show that Lindsay was terminated for expressing her views. They've denied everything, essentially, but, you know, that's what we would expect. It's going to take a trial to show that Lindsay was her rights were violated.
Lindsay, I'm curious, what is your message for other moms and teachers out there who may share your religious beliefs and they see these things happening in the school? What would your recommendation be to them?
Well, my recommendations to moms are to wake up and to get involved and make sure that they're aware of what's happening. And my overarching message would be public schools can't retaliate against parents who are expressing genuine concern about their own children's education. And that's what we should do. It's our right. We should exercise our rights while we have them.
Phil, I'm just hearing Lindsay, and I mean, it is a righteous cause that she is fighting, and this determination. I have to imagine we need, and you guys would love to be able to defend more people like that across the country as these cases pop up.
Absolutely, Todd. It is very important for people to stand up for their rights and to speak up if they feel like they're being canceled for their views. And so we would like to hear from anyone who has a similar situation or feels that they've been punished because of things they believe or things they've said.
All right. Well, we have a direct link on our website to Alliance Defending Freedom. And folks, if you find yourself in a situation like Lindsay did, your first call ought to be to Alliance Defending Freedom. Lindsay, we wish you the very best. We're gonna stay up to date and up to speed on what's happening with you. And Phil, we appreciate the great work at Alliance Defending Freedom.
Thanks, Todd.
Thank you.
All right, folks, wow. Just imagine that. Imagine being a mom of young grade school children and finding out, hey, there are these books that are incredibly inappropriate in the library. The kids are being exposed to these books. You speak out, and then the day after you speak out, all of a sudden you lose your job as a substitute teacher. And this is not happening in Berkeley, California, folks. This is happening, believe it or not, in the great state of Georgia. Got to take a break here. 844-747-8868, toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Let's get to the phones. 844-747-8868, Gainesville, Georgia. Jason hanging out with us on WDUN. Hey, Jason, what's going on?
Oh, I called the Newsmax tonight, or called DirecTV and gave them an earful. And, of course, what they're telling me is that the contract agreement is that Newsmax pulled away. And I said, no, 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 no. I said, you've already pulled one American News. Now you're doing it with Newsmax. I said, you got less than a week. Get it back on. I've been a customer for 15 years. You can either get it back on by the end of the week or I'm gone. And I asked the lady, when she picked up the phone, I said, you probably already know what I'm calling about. And she said, well, sir. And I said, Newsmax? She goes, oh, yes, yes, yes. I'm very aware.
That's the way to do it. And Jason, and they need to hear from the customers. And I'm so proud for you because you are able to immediately push back, because this has, yeah, Newsmax did not make this decision. This was done by DirecTV.
Correct. And that's, you know, she, of course, was trying to read her pre-designed whatever script over the top of what I was trying to tell her. And I finally said, stop. And then she was like, oh, yes, sir.
Yeah.
So it was fun. But I appreciate you letting us know.
Hey, you got it, Jason. Appreciate you calling, and thanks for reaching out. And, folks, we want to encourage you, call DirecTV right now, and I'm going to give you the number. So go ahead and write this down. This is the toll-free number to DirecTV, 877-763-9762. Again, that's 877-763-9762. And you tell DirecTV, either put Newsmax back on or you're canceling your subscription. I mean, that's all there is to it. Let's go to Nicole. We got to play hardball here, folks. We cannot allow them to silence conservatives. And by the way, when DirecTV tells you, well, the ratings, no. The ratings for Newsmax are a whole lot higher than most of the liberal TV shows and TV stations that they carry on DirecTV. So that's a load of hooey as well. Let's go to Nicole in North Carolina, WSIC in Statesville, North Carolina. Nicole, what say you?
Hey, Todd, I'm sorry, I have a cold, but I just got off the phone with DirecTV. That's so funny.
I had a big fight with them, too. I told them I threw their box out the window.
Is that right? I hope it didn't hit anybody.
I wish that more from my area, because 13 million people that they canceled.
Nicole, it's only going to take a handful of folks calling up and either threatening to or canceling your subscriptions for them to reconsider all of this.
But they acted like this, what this guy just said from Georgia. They said to me that it was Newsmax that canceled.
No, it is. Yeah, and it's not. It's not. And we've been warning people about this for the past 24 hours that this could happen. We understand that lawmakers and Newsmax has been trying to work behind the scenes to try to get all this sorted out. But I'm telling you, Nicole, this is what the cancel culture looks like. And now these cable channels, and there's really nothing stopping DirecTV from actually getting rid of Fox News next.
But I'm going to tell you, it's going to backfire. There's too many people that like I know everybody around here has Newsmax. They love it. I'm telling you, it's going to backfire on these people.
Nicole, you hang in there. You did the right thing, and I'm proud of you. The good news is you can still watch Newsmax online, newsmax.com. You'll be able to watch all of the shows, all the programming, as an alternative until DirecTV decides to reverse this decision. Nicole, thanks for the call. 844-747-8868. That's our number. I want you to call DirecTV, give them a piece of your mind. You can be nice about it, and say, hey, look, if you don't put Newsmax back on, we're gone. And I want you to give us a call and tell us what they told you. Again, the number, if you want to call DirecTV, 877-763-9762. And tell your friends, pass this information along. We also have all this information up on our website, toddstearns.com, and you'll be able to share it there as well. All right, folks, coming up in the next hour, Congressman Brandon Williams is going to be here, a new friend of this program. He is new to Congress from New York State. We're going to be speaking with him. Also, a terrible crime story, and we're going to be covering crime news quite a bit on the program moving forward. Our good friend, journalist Robin Poffman, is going to be here to weigh in on the story of this LSU student who was brutally attacked and killed. That's coming up in the next hour. We have some new intel on that story as well. So the question, by the way, about the classified documents. So now we know that Vice President Mike Pence had some classified documents in his possession. A lot of people wondering what's going on in Washington and if there is some sort of a systemic issue there. Cut number five, Lindsey Graham.
You got Trump, you got Pence, you got Biden. The only thing I think you'll find at my house is a bunch of Chick-fil-A bags on the floor. The bottom line is I don't know how this happened. We need to get to the bottom of it. I don't believe for a minute that Mike Pence is trying to intentionally compromise national security. I think that about Biden and Trump, but clearly we've got a problem here. So hopefully when this is all said and done, maybe we're overclassifying things. That may be part of the problem. But count me in for getting this fixed. And the vice president, I know very well, I'm sure he'll stand up and be the first to say, if I had classified information in my house, to explain why. I think he's one of the most decent people I've ever met. And so what became a political problem, for Republicans, is now a national security problem for the country.
Well, it certainly is. I will agree with Senator Graham on that issue. What exactly are they doing with these classified documents? They're just throwing them around all over the place. And again, this has look, Pence and Biden, their issues are very much the same. But President Trump's is not, because his documents were in a secure location. The National Archives knew exactly where those documents were, and Trump had declassified those documents, which he had the right to do. The documents in possession of Mike Pence and Joe Biden were not unclassified, so they were still classified. Oh, by the way, we've got time to get this audio in here. So Kevin McCarthy, Speaker McCarthy, yesterday going off on Shifty Schiff, pencil neck Schiff. Take a listen. Cut one.
What did Adam Schiff do as the chairman of the Intel Committee? What Adam Schiff did, use his power as a chairman and lie to the American public. Even the Inspector General said it. When Devin Nunes put out a memo, he said it was false. When we had a laptop, he used it before an election to be politics and say that it was false and said it was the Russians. When he knew different, when he knew the intel, if you talk to John Radcliffe, DNI, he came out ahead of time and says there's no intel to prove that, and he used his position as chairman, knowing he has information the rest of America does not, and lied to the American public. When a whistleblower came forward, he said he did not know the individual, even though his staff had met with him and set it up. So no, he does not have a right to sit on that. But I will not be like Democrats and play politics with these, where they removed Republicans from committees and all committees. So yes, he can serve on a committee, but he will not serve on intel because it goes to the national security of America. And I will always put them first. All right?
All right. Good for you. Good for you, Mr. Speaker. And by the way, also took Eric Swalwell off that committee. And the only reason he was swapping secrets and saliva with some sort of an eight. What is it? The Chinese chick Fang Fang, Bang Bang, whatever her name was. Oh, I'm sorry. It was Bang. Okay, I understand. So Fang Fang was the gal. And all right, never mind. Anyway, it was bad. And to have these guys, and again, apparently the classified documents of these great United States of America are strewn about all over Washington. So you don't even, the Chinese spies, the female Chinese spies like Fang Fang, don't even have to violate the commandments to get the documents. They can just wander over to the White House. They're just sitting there next to the M&Ms. Unbelievable what's going on up there. So good for you, Speaker McCarthy. All right, folks, we got to take a break here. Again, coming up, we're going to be checking in with Congressman Brandon Williams. Journalist Robin Poffman's going to drop by. Also, we could be getting a call from Chris Ruddy, who is the owner of Newsmax TV as well. Don't forget, call DirecTV. Tell them you want them to put Newsmax back on their platform. Got to take a break here, folks. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
All right. Hello, everybody. Hour three of the big show. Great to have you with us today. And thank you for making us your choice. Noon to 3 Eastern. We greatly appreciate that. You guys are great American patriots, one and all. 844-747-8868. That is our toll-free telephone number. That's a way to get on this radio program. Also, just want to remind you that we are urging all of our listeners today to reach out to DirecTV and demand they restore Newsmax to their platform. Late last night, DirecTV, which is owned by AT&T, deplatformed Newsmax, the nation's fastest-growing cable news platform, news channel. They've already gotten rid of One America News, meaning there's only one conservative cable channel left. And so we need you to reach out to DirecTV. Those numbers are on our website. I want to go right now, though, to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. We're just honored to have with us Congressman Brandon Williams from the 22nd Congressional District in New York. Congressman, thanks for joining us today.
Yes, sir. I'm glad to be here.
Congressman, real quick, before we get into some interesting legislation that you guys are introducing up on Capitol Hill, I want to get your response to what DirecTV did by deplatforming Newsmax.
Well, there's always two sides to every coin. In the business side, my background's business, and there's always these negotiations around rates and fees and the cable channels and the satellite channels are always trying to squeeze as much out of the content providers as possible. But I'd like to know from AT&T if there's anything else behind it, because clearly Newsmax is growing as an audience, and if they're making political decisions you know, are they, you know, providing, you know, censorship, or they, if they're censoring just based on their views, you know, I'm frankly, I hope that that's something the House starts looking into.
Well,
it's anti-competitive, frankly.
And of course, a number of your colleagues within the Republican caucus there on Capitol Hill wrote a letter to AT&T and DirecTV demanding answers. And they believe that this is very concerning. And they, especially when you look at what's happening on the social media platforms, and we now have the rock solid proof that the White House was working closely with groups like Twitter to silence conservative viewpoints. So I'm glad that the Republicans on Capitol Hill are taking a stand here and saying, hey, look, we need to figure out what's going on. It may not be the case, but here's what it looks like.
Well, you know, again, if it's, you know, if we have our, you know, elected officials and representatives weighing in on ideological terms to try to determine, you know, what voices get heard or not, the thing we learned from Twitter and the Twitter files, which I love reading, and Matt Taibbi's stuff there, is that, you know, the truth comes out. You know, the messages and all of that, you know, eventually comes out, and would be deeply embarrassing to AT&T and DirecTV if they got caught up in that. There's so many options to cut the wire now for over-the-top providers, and, you know, choking messages and, you know, choking voices is not a winning strategy when there's, you know, ever more channels of how to receive information, and the OTT providers, as it's called, over the top, you know, is the way to do that. So I don't think it's a great business strategy.
Yeah, I'm with you on that, Congressman. A lot of people may not realize that outside of New York City, that New York State is pretty much a rural state. A lot of farms in the Empire State. You guys have a brand new bill out, the Protect Local Farms Act. I want you to tell our listeners what your legislation would do.
Well, I appreciate that. New York State is a stunningly beautiful place. If you just think of it as the city, it's an enormous state. The Adirondacks, all the way through the incredible fertile plains of central New York and the beautiful Finger Lakes area. So, you know, I grew up in Dallas, Texas, and, you know, I'm just always stunned by the beauty of New York State. There is, you know, one of the downsides of some of the more liberal states like California, Illinois, and New York is they're always cooking up new ways, you know, to make life difficult for people that, that work. And right now that's being done to our farmers. You know, some brilliant policymakers down in New York City and in Albany, you know, have figured out that farms need to operate, you know, like, manufacturing, you know, like a factory. And so they're trying to make farms pay overtime for if you work more than 40 hours a week. And, you know, for most of us, for 99% of us that don't work on farms, that might sound like common sense. But the reality is, and this may be different where you live, but where I live, cows are not born between 9 a.m. and 5 p.m. Monday to Friday. You know, cows give birth pretty much anytime they want to, and you have to have people that that show up to help that process and make sure it's okay. And those people are called farmers. And if you've got to get your crops in before a big hailstorm or a rainstorm, you might be working, you know, 25, 30, 40 hours in a row all night, you know, to get your crop in, or you would lose everything. And so, you know, to take an arbitrary 40-hour a week with the, you know, a factory where you can turn it on and turn it off and just leave and come back, that's not the way farms operate. And so the reason all your listeners should care about it is that it is, you know, another, you know, liberal export from California, New York, and places like Illinois where they want to start it and then export it to your state. And so we've got to protect farmers on the front lines of this, and that's really what this bill is designed to do.
Well, I love to hear this because you're right. These a lot of these policies that they're trying to implement, these people have never even set foot on a farm. If they are meat eaters, they think the hamburger just spontaneously arrives at the supermarket in the styrofoam packaging. They have no concept of what it means to actually be on a working family farm.
Well, my wife and I started a farm. That's really what brought us to settle in central New York. It's a small farm with specialty foods. And we do all the work ourselves. And all I can tell you, as hard, frankly, as it's been for us, it is not one-tenth what a dairy farmer goes through. They're literally the hardest working people I've ever met. And, you know, to make life harder for them, quite honestly, just isn't fair. People who work in agriculture do it because they want to be there. You know, it's a tiny fraction of our workforce nationally. And these are people that are passionate about it. And they don't like the workers don't like the 40-hour rule. And it literally will put farms out of business. My district has the fifth largest dairy production area in America. And this really hurts ordinary people.
You know, Congressman, I was scrolling through, it was Instagram, one of the social media platforms the other day, and a bunch of farmers were getting a good laugh. They had one of these woke liberals talking about how, you know, these tractors that the farmers use are not all that expensive. You can probably get one for $50,000, $60,000. These tractors are hundreds of thousands of dollars in some cases.
Yeah.
I don't think the average American really understands what it takes. You know, when you say family farm, there's a lot of expense that goes into running one of those farms.
You know, Todd, what people really don't appreciate is, you know, we've had an incredible rise in the cost of fertilizer, you know, incredible rise in the cost of diesel. All farming equipment essentially runs on diesel fuel. And that farmers, as you know, they have to invest to plant and till and, you know, tend to their crops, you know, over a period of time, typically, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6 months, you know, until they harvest or more. And, you know, there's no promise as to what the price for their produce will be when they harvest, but the costs are all fixed up front. So they've got to put a lot of money in the ground, you know, literally and metaphorically, before they ever know if they're going to make it back. And there's so much volatility, as you know, because of rain and markets and et cetera on, you know, what commodity prices are. And so the amount of risk that they take is, I mean, you know, it's literally in the Bible, you know, about how much risk farmers take. And so to add to their woes, you know, through these artificial, you know, laws made up by, you know, frankly, liberals in big cities, you know, is completely unacceptable.
Congressman, before we let you go, I'd like to get your take on George Santos. We understand that Speaker McCarthy is saying that if Santos broke the law, he will be removed. This guy, I mean, does he even belong in Congress right now with the number of lies he's been spewing? This is unbelievable.
You know, I come out of the nuclear Navy. I was the nuclear submarine officer for the Navy. And, you know, as you might imagine in that business, they don't, they're very low tolerance for lying. So, you know, I've called for, Mr. Santos to go back to his private life and sort all this out. But, you know, frankly, the speakers had the same message from the beginning, which is we're going to follow due process law. I think that's what good leaders do, by the way. You know, they, you know, the rest of us can appeal to the media and you know, can make these appeals. But great leaders are going to say, look, we're going to follow the law and due process. And it's exactly what the speaker's doing. So I think he's right. I just want to see him go. And I think, you know, appealing to George Santos, he needs to step aside. You know, all politics are local. And I'm in New York State, and my colleagues, my Republican colleagues that delivered the majority for the House, are really being crowded out of their media markets because of the George Santos story. And we can't talk about our wins or our committee assignments or our plans. Or, and, you know, frankly, it's very acute for my colleagues, particularly downstate in New York.
All right, well, we're going to leave it there. Sad situation, but it is what it is. Congressman, appreciate you calling in today. Good luck on this legislation, and we're going to pay very close attention to that.
Please do. Farm Bureau's behind us, so please do. Thank
all
you.
Right, there you go. Well, if the Farm Bureau's there, then we are too, folks. We like them. All right, Congressman Brandon Williams from New York State. You know, one of the things that, I've started doing is shopping at the local farmers markets. But you got to be careful because in some of the big cities, all of that produce is actually coming from someplace else and not a mom and pop farm. But as best as I can, I've been trying to support local farms here in the Memphis area. Western Tennessee is a big agricultural area, and we have a lot of farmers. I'll be out at the farmers market, and some of the farmers will come up and say, "Hey, listen to the show while I'm out on the tractor. We're working the farm." So want to give a shout out to all those great folks. I'm not sure if the average Americans truly understand how much work goes in to running a family farm. It is backbreaking work, but we just love those folks for doing it. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show. Funny story from the Memphis Police Department. Not a lot to laugh about these days, but this is sort of humorous. A one-legged man had a busy 24 hours. Police say Christopher Swearingen, who only has one leg, broke into a woman's home and stole her car. Later in the day, he stole another car, and the next day, he stole yet another car. Unbelievable. By the way, the officer, this is great. He broke into a Memphis police car. That's the kick in the pants. If you can do that with one leg. The officer whose car was broken into said the Memphis Police Department clothing, law enforcement equipment was stolen from the police cruiser. So if you get pulled over by a one-legged cop, you might want to call 911. Oh, they caught the guy. All right, well, that's good. They found him with a stolen pillow, laptop, tablet, and Memphis Police Department clothing. I wonder if it was a MyPillow. Oh, that could be a felony. That's not a misdemeanor. Those are expensive pillows. By the way, hashtag Todd, or promo code Todd, if you're going to get a MyPillow. Swearingen, the one-legged bandit, was charged with aggravated burglary, burglary of a motor vehicle, theft of property. Theft of property again, and theft of property a third time. That one-legged man was busier than a one-armed paper hanger. I'm going to tell you that much. Jeez, hello, America. All right, let's go to the phones here. 844-747-8868. Mike in North Carolina, what's on your mind?
Todd, hey, it's great to speak with you. My wife and I met you at the sanitary restaurant.
A fine seafood restaurant, Mike, with a very peculiar name. But now, why do they call it the sanitary restaurant?
Because everything's so clean. I don't know.
Well, no, that's. go ahead, Mike.
How long it's been around?
It's been a while.
How long it's been around? My dad, who died when he was 80, about 10 years ago, worked there as a teenager. So. It's been around for quite a while.
So the fine owner of your local talk radio station, and the talk station is a locally owned talk station. He took us down there for dinner. Had the best seafood I've had in a very long time. And it's my understanding the reason why they call it the sanitary fish house is because back in the day there were many fish houses along that dock. And they were not exactly clean, and they called it the sanitary fish house for a reason, so people would know, like you just said, that people could come in and have a good meal with the family.
Well, I will say I've never had a dirty meal there, so
there you go. That'll be on an advertisement somewhere. All right, Mike, what's on your mind?
Well, let me preface what I've got to say with this. I've watched sports all my life. I'm almost 70, and I have never seen a game won by only playing defense. I'll tell you, it's gotten to the point where I really don't listen to much politics, but I happened to tune in. I was in the truck, happened to tune in, and heard the young man speaking there just a minute ago. Is he a senator or a House member? I'm not sure. But, and this is nothing against him. I'm sure he's a fine fellow. I don't mean anything like that. But the problem, you know, and I'm not even going to say Republicans because I'm about fed up with them too. The conservatives in Congress and in the Senate have got to quit playing only defense. It seems like all we hear about is the Republicans. Well, we're proposing this bill to change this bill that the Democrats have pushed through. We need to be on the offense. We need to be the idea people. That's who we need to be. We need to be in the front lines instead of on our heels, always defending, our beliefs. By trying to change something they've already done, you know.
Mike, I think that's a terrific point, and that music means we're going to have to skedaddle for a break. But it's a great point you make that the Republicans need to play offense. They've got to advance their agenda, and it doesn't matter who they tick off in the process. Mike, enjoy that sanitary fish house. It's good food over there. Good eating. Hush puppies look a little weird, though. They're not round. They're kind of oblong, but I don't know. All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Good to have you with us. By the way, Kevin McCarthy, we'd asked the congressman out of New York State, what are we going to do with George Santos? This guy lies about everything. Never seen anything like it. So the speaker says, look, Santos will be removed from Congress if he broke the law. Here's my question. Should the guy be given the heave-ho? Is being a serial liar enough to get you booted from Congress? I'm sorry, I tried to ask that with a straight face. But it is a legitimate question we have here, right? I mean, you're going after other lawmakers who are Democrats because they've lied, and yet you're going to say, okay, we're not going to go after Santos because he's our guy, and it's okay that he lies because he's a Republican. No, I don't think you can have it that way. I mean, the guy should have been renounced by Republicans a long time ago. And by the way, we don't even know if the guy is actually a Republican. That's something else that we are not quite sure about. I mean, it's very possible this Santos guy could be a Democrat plant or could be one of these activists who's basically pulling a fast one on the people back in his congressional district. Former Congressman Peter King of New York, writing in a New York Times opinion column, called on Santos to resign. Quote, as long as Mr. Santos remains in Congress, he is a dead man walking and will be unable to get anything done for his constituents. For at least this one moment in his life, it is time for Mr. Santos to face reality, do the honorable thing, and resign the seat in Congress. So there you go. We'll see how that goes. But again, it's somebody's got to be able to have some moral standard. And we certainly know the Democrats aren't going to do it. And it looks as though there are a lot of people in the Republican Party who feel the same way. That, hey, look, everybody lies. It's not a big deal. And the guy's a Republican. So you got to turn the other way. 844-747-8868. That is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. A reporter from the White House Press Corps had a question about guns. Here's what the reporter asked KJP, Cut 3.
We have spoke, between me and some friends, that in this country, and this I'm making this point because we need to remind people that America is the only country on earth that people die by gun without even being in war.
So the reporter says that America is the only country where people die by guns. This is simply not true at all, period. Not all. I would have liked to have heard what KJP said in response, but the reporter asked the question. and it's a lie. It's just simply not true. And by the way, the guns aren't out there killing people. It's the people. It's the people pulling the trigger that are the ones killing people. By the way, many of you might have been seeing these ads during NFL games. The Jesus ads. Have you seen these ads? It says what is it? It's called the He Gets Us, All of Us movement. Deseret News has the story on what's behind these ads. And it's interesting because at first you're like, oh, this is about Jesus. So these people are like sharing the gospel. Well, that's not it at all. As a matter of fact, this is some sort of a woke leftist organization that's trying to convince you that Jesus was a refugee. The videos are sprinkled in between ads for fast food joints and luxury cars. But instead of advertising a new product, they're shining a light on liberal Christian teachings, more specifically, the story of Jesus Christ. The videos are meant to make people see Jesus in new ways, whether or not they identify as a Christian. A spokesperson for the He Gets Us campaign tells Deseret News, quote, we've had three ads that have been running on a lot of the big sports networks leading up to the Super Bowl. We're trying to introduce people, including some who might be skeptical of Christianity, to Jesus' relevance in modern-day life and call upon Christians to reflect on his teachings and the way they treat other people. Religion News Service reports the campaign cost $100 million. Unbelievable. But people are actually responding. 166 million impressions, according to one data profiler. The overall goal of the He Gets Us movement is to ensure people associate the story of Jesus with love rather than hate. Well, there you go. There you go, folks. You got to read between the lines here. Quote, the ad may not bring people to church, but they'll hopefully help them think about faith in new ways. So this program is one of these, Jesus was a soft-spoken guy, and, you know, he just liked to float about and, you know, tiptoe through the tulips. You know, it was all lovey-dovey. That's what they're trying to convey here. And that's not the Jesus of the Bible. So anyway, if you see these ads, just pay attention because it's not exactly what you might think they are. 844-747-8868. Some big news. We've been talking about Newsmax a lot and DirecTV. And again, we want you to call DirecTV and then you give us a call back and let us know what they told you. But our good friend David Horowitz is on Newsmax all this week. He has a brand new book called The Final Battle, and David is actually revealing this war underway in America. We talk about this all the time on this program. The Democrats, woke culture, new generation, destroying our culture and ending our freedoms. David says their plan is taking place in schools, churches, even the military. And that's why you need to be watching David all this week on Chris Salcedo's show as he reveals the real threat of Biden, Obama, and big media. Got to watch Newsmax. That's the network I watch. And watch Chris Salcedo and David Horowitz. And by the way, you're also going to be able to get a free copy of The Final Battle. How do you do that? Simple. Go to finalbattle611.com. That's finalbattle611.com, and you'll be able to get your free copy today. We'll be right back, America. All right, folks, welcome back. Let's go to the phones. Our good friend from the Nevada Talk Network, Wyatt Cox, joins us, also the host of Classic Radio Theater. Wyatt, good to have you on the show. What's up?
You know, you've been talking about the whole mess with DirecTV. And I cut the cable a year ago with DirecTV.
Why did you do that, Wyatt?
Well, it got too horribly expensive. And what I did here is I purchased a device that you have heard about because you've talked about it. It is Roku. And the smart TVs can bring you all the content that you would get through DirecTV and the like at half the cost or less. And in fact, through Roku, there is a Newsmax channel where you don't even have to pay for it.
Well, that's even better. But again, I think for a lot of people, 13 million of them, Wyatt, you know, they have DirecTV, and it's really unfortunate that the left and the leftists who control AT&T and DirecTV are doing this and pulling the plug on not one but two conservative channels.
Well, and that's true. But here's the deal. That 13 million is going down and down and down. Business Media reporting that satellite TV is seeing increasing subscriber declines over the years. And it is not going to be long before, you know, I watched a satellite, a friend of mine, their satellite cost doubled and doubled and doubled till they said, that's enough. And I said, well, here's how you do it. You get yourself a good broadband connection. You get you a Roku or you get you a smart TV. I personally enjoy Roku. I know you enjoy your Apple TV. That is the best way to not only ensure that you have access to Newsmax and other conservative programming, but also there's a lot of good programming that from the years past that's there that's free for the picking.
Yeah, and that's true. I do have Apple TV. I have noticed now. Fortunately, with my system, I don't pay for the cable. That's already included. Otherwise, I would have cut the cord. I didn't realize how much I did not need cable until I got my Apple TV and have all the channels, all the stuff I want is there, and pay very little for it, and I'm very happy with it.
Yes. If you're insisting on staying with DirecTV, by all means, get a hold of them. Let them know. Go to the website, and I had it here a moment ago, and I don't have it now, but there is a website that they've got up so you can complain. Let people know you don't like this.
Absolutely.
Americans,
and Wyatt, I'm telling you,
cutting the cable.
Yeah, they are cutting the cable, and they're cutting off the satellite too. I'll tell you that much. And a lot of our listeners have been phoning in, calling DirecTV and AT&T. And folks, we just have to keep up the pressure. Wyatt, we've got a skedaddle. Always good hearing from you, sir.
All the best. May God bless.
All right, good guy out there in the Nevada Talk Network world. Got a message from Bradford. From Oakland, Tennessee, a Bradford listening to us on KWAM, and said that he's called DirecTV. They were very cordial about it. Good for you, Bradford. You don't have to be all riled up about it, but you do need to be direct and let them know how you feel. By the way, speaking of being direct, people in Memphis are getting fired up over this horrible story of the guy that was allegedly beaten to death by five Memphis police officers. Also, two members of the fire department who responded to the scene, they've been placed on leave for Lord knows what, because the police department, nobody's talking. So now the only people that are talking are the family of the dead guy and their attorney, Ben Crump. Now all the activists are starting to show up. Memphis City Hall doesn't want to release any of the video. They keep saying, well, we're going to release the video after the family watches it. So the family watched it. Well, we're not going to release it. We're going to wait until after the investigation is over. And now they're coming out and saying, well, we're not going to do that. We're going to wait until after they press charges. And now the feds are coming in, and it looks like maybe nobody will ever get to see this video. They don't want you to see the body cam footage of Memphis police officers who've only been on the job a couple of years, allegedly beating a man to death. And the autopsy reports show that this guy was beaten to death by somebody. But they don't want to release that information. So anyway, they had some activists show up at City Hall last night, and it was quite the scene. Cut number 9.
As you know, there was a murder that took place here on January the 7th, I believe, Mr. Tyree Nichols. He was murdered at the hands of the Memphis police. I am very upset with everybody on this city council because you are our representatives. You are our checks and balances. And not one of you have come out publicly and demanded that that tape that we paid $3 million, correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. Wade, when we paid for the body cams, we, the taxpayers, paid for it. So regardless if an attorney comes from out of town and says that the family wants us to wait a week, the community is not going to wait a week. We pay for it. If we can't get it within a reasonable amount of time, which is now, we want a refund, and we want the economic development and growth engine to do what they need to do in North Memphis specifically. J.B. Smiley, you know me. Michael Lynn, you know me. Worth Morgan, you know me. And we want the tape. We want the footage now. Jim Strickland, Mayor Strickland did a good job by firing those officers, but this is about transparency. And we gonna have it, or we need a refund on our tax dollars that we paid. Ms. Robinson, you know me. Y'all should be asking for it. The public wants to see what happened. We want to know, are we really employing people that think it's okay to be out of folks? It could have been your son, Ms. Logan. It could have been you, Edmund Ford.
Ms. Moses.
Oh, cut her mic off.
Ms. Moses, you would not use profanity before this council.
Nothing wrong with a little righteous indignation. So, people are getting riled up, and I don't blame them one bit. We had a problem here in Memphis. The city council here, they hate police officers. And they for the longest time, they would not allow anybody outside of the city limits to be a police officer. So what happened? I think there were down, 600, 700 officers to their full complement. And now the city council's complaining that the response times to crime is incredibly high. Well, there's a reason for that, you morons. There aren't enough police officers. By the way, just to give you an example of how crazy it is around here. So there was a guest who was supposed to be on the KWAM morning show and had to be here at 6 o'clock in the morning. The guy leaves his house in a nice part of town, walks out of his house, and what does he find? There's a guy trying to steal his car. And so he had to yell at the guy and tell him to go away. My understanding is a firearm may or may not have been involved in that. So I'm serious. If you're coming to Memphis, arm yourself. I'm telling you, for your own safety. It's a great town, but it's just not safe. It's really not. So anyway, you got these cops out there that the five cops have been fired. They'd only been on the job for a couple of years, and here's the reason why. So the city council, in an effort to hire more police officers, you know what they did, folks? They lowered the standards. Now, it used to be if you had a criminal record, you were not allowed to be a police officer here. Well, now that doesn't matter anymore. You can now be a convicted criminal, and you can still be a Memphis police officer. So they've lowered their training. There was not a supervisor at the scene of whatever happened, and we only have one side of the story. And that may be that may be the only side of this. And the family is saying this is a good and decent kid. He does not have a criminal record. 29 years old, and he was beaten to death at a traffic stop. The guy ran away from cops. We don't know why. Police won't say. So we're big defenders of the police department on this radio program. But if we're not proponents of police officers going out and beating people to death. But the police department, we have asked them at least a half a dozen times for a comment or something. They won't even let people see the actual crime report, the incident report. So they're in cover-up mode at this point. Anyway, this is what happens when you have a leadership vacuum at City Hall and also at the police department. And I would not wish what we are going through in this city on any other city in America. Well, maybe Berkeley. But otherwise, no, I would not do that because it is horrible. And it's unfair to the good tax-paying citizens of Memphis who can't even go to the grocery store or get gas without having their head on a swivel and praying to Almighty God they don't get carjacked or shot or robbed. That's the city we live in right now, and I blame the city council and the Democrats who have controlled this city for generations. All right, we got to get out of here, folks. We're going to try to reschedule Robin Poffman on tomorrow's show to talk about that big LSU crime case. What a mess that is. ToddStarnes.com, that is our website. Please go and check it out, download the podcast, and sign up for the newsletter. We'll see you tomorrow, America.